Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
19 days into camp, guys. I can't believe this, but I've already lost track of how many practices it's been. I know it's 19 days, though. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here to recap our first podcast since the first preseason game. And we've had a couple of practices since then. Today, full pads. Yesterday, shells. So a little bit of a ramping up to the long week ahead between preseason game number one and preseason game number two. What stood out to you guys today? Paul Perillo, I'll start with you.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, the guys that are sort of coming back into the picture and guys that are leaving the picture. Today, I thought it was interesting that you had no fullbacks. You basically had no tight ends because Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski were not practicing. Didn't look like anything too serious in either regard, but not sure on that. But so you basically had Alex Silvestro and Tyler Urban as your only tight ends. You had no fullbacks, and you had Brandon Lloyd not practicing. So kind of a different dynamic on offense. I thought at times it was pretty crisp, and other times the execution was lacking a little bit. A lot of work for both teams today, both offense and defense off cards as well. So it seemed, and I know it didn't take any longer, Andy, but it seemed like they were on the field for a longer time and got a lot more done in different periods than we've seen in the recent practices.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought it was a little lackluster, a little sloppy at times. Not
yeah,
a great practice, but they did a lot of different things. Obviously, the story is the two tight ends not being out there. I mean, they are now the heart of the passing game. So, you know, and we had talked about Hernandez is the one guy I would have said coming into today who had the best camp because mm-hmm. hadn't missed any time, hadn't had a huge bad day, had caught everything thrown his way, had been a favorite of Tom Brady. And I'm not saying that make a big deal, oh, he wasn't out there today, but it was just the first time you really could say he wasn't out there and putting on a show. So the urban legend grows. He was out there making plays.
And Hernandez had another great day on Sunday, by the way,
right.
by all accounts.
Yes, right.
Eric was here as our trusty correspondent. Everybody said another great day, so not mm-hmm. sure exactly what that was. But it seemed like I said, he was out there with everybody. It didn't seem like he was dealing with anything too significant.
And you continue to see the permutations of the offensive line. Nick McDonald moving around right guard, some tackle all over the place. And obviously Logan Mankins, his second day in shells. So we should expect that tomorrow afternoon, if you come on down to Gillette Stadium, you will see Logan Mankins in pads, assuming the rest of the team is in pads, for his first practice off PUP on Sunday.
He looked like he did a little bit more than he did yesterday.
All you want him to do.
Right.
That's what Bill would say.
That's right.
You want to do a little bit
making
more every
progress.
Day.
You're making progress. Yesterday he was limited exclusively to individual drills, as the rules, you know, require. Today he looked like he did a little bit more in the group work mm-hmm. stage. He didn't actually get into when they went into teamwork 11-on-11, but he made some progress again today, and that's great news for this offensive line, which, as you said, has been experiencing all different kinds of combinations.
So, especially for those of us who've been saying, don't worry about it when the season starts.
Right.
Mankins will be there. Vollmer will be there. We took a step closer to that.
Right. Long week ahead, guys. Practices today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. Looks like this is, you know, a little bit unusual because, Paul and I, you were talking about this earlier in the day, the anomaly of the schedule with the two home games and where those home games fall with a Thursday night start and then a Monday night. It seems like camp is a little bit longer this year. And I wonder if that's, I wonder how that's going to impact the way these practices unfold. Because as Andy said, this one was a little bit lackluster. And I think we've seen a few too many lackluster ones in the last few days. And I wonder if it's just the grind is just starting to get to
them. Yeah, and I do think, and Belichick talked about it before practice today, there's still installation to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might lend itself to a little bit more of a lackluster feel because it's not just going over what you already know. It's sort of
learning.
It's learning on the go. And I think that, you know, probably lends itself to some mistakes. And then when you deal with the guys from a personnel standpoint that are missing.
I think that's the biggest thing.
You know, so now you have some lesser experienced guys who are not only in roles that they're not normally in, but they're trying to learn. And yeah, you know, right. like you said, your urban development. Well, of course, he's not running it as well as Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez.
One of your top four receivers was on the field today, Wes Welker.
Right.
Lloyd, Gronkowski, and Hernandez weren't out there. I mean, that's obviously going to affect things. You get to the offensive line, you've yet to have your starting offensive line. So it's, I think it's understandable. That doesn't mean it's acceptable. You know, we can say it's understandable. Coaches say that's unacceptable. The guy that I put in there has to do the job, whoever he is. That's the standard we've built here. But I think we can see the reasons for it.
Before we wrap this up, I have a question for each of you guys. We're going into now almost 3 weeks of training camp. We've had a game already to see some of these guys play. We know that every year at least one undrafted rookie ends up making the team. Which one of this year's group do you think has done the most for himself to this point?
I still think it's Francis, the guy that's been, to me, ahead of that race all along, starting, you know, in OTAs when he was next to Vince Wilfork, who happened to just walk by our window here at Gillette Stadium in the studio. I think Francis has shown the ability to play inside as a sub rusher, outside as a true defensive end in what they're running up front. I think they like his motor. I think they like, you know, he fires out. He's going full speed. I don't know if he's always going to make a good play, but he always seems like he's moving, as Bill said, or maybe Nick said, 100 miles an hour. I think he's the guy, and it's the thinnest position to me. That defensive end spot, you know, Trevor Scott hasn't done a lot. Jake Beckett hasn't done a ton. You know, those guys kind of showed up late in the preseason game. But I think there's opportunity there for Francis, and he seems to be kind of grabbing it.
Yeah, I agree. And the situation with the offensive line, while we all still agree that it probably will, you know, sort of settle itself down by the time the regular season starts, in the event that it doesn't, a guy like Jeremiah Warren has been getting periodic reps here and there. As an interior guy, doesn't seem to be out of place.
Nope.
Now, I think it's probably a long shot because, like I said, I think, you know, you're seeing the first steps with Logan Mankins now. I assume Sebastian Vollmer will follow suit at some point, and then we'll see what happens with Brian Waters. But if all those guys come back and now all of a sudden the Donald Thomases and the Ryan Wendells are subs, then there's probably not going to be any room for a guy like Warren. But if, you know, something bad happens and those guys can't come back and aren't ready, then it opens the door for other guys. Nick McDonald has been doing it a lot. Obviously, he's already here. Warren's another guy that might get some things. And then, you know, Indianized favorite, Tyler Urban, just because we want to write a whole bunch
and
of.
And they seem to want a third tight end. And if Fels and Schenko can't get on the field,
same reason.
He's next
Absolutely.
In line.
One guy who flashed early in camp was Brandon Bolden at running back. Do you guys think he's sort of plateaued? Taking a step back. He hasn't really done as much, I think, as maybe in the first week or so of camp.
I think in terms of his catching ability, he's taken a step back. I've seen a lot of balls hit the ground at various points that are thrown in his direction. And that sort of was his MO coming out of college, that he was going to kind of be a jack of all trades, catch the ball. And I just think, I don't think he's going to make the team. I think he will be here on the practice squad, but I don't think he's going to make the team. I think the numbers in the backfield may be low. I won't be surprised if you just see Ridley, Woodhead, and Vereen, and then who knows about fullback. You know, we actually saw Spencer Larson walk out on the field today. I think he should make the team. He's set to make the roster if he can be physically available. But I actually went back and looked, Paul, I had mentioned to you that there was a year, 2008, where they kept seven wide receivers, three tight ends, and three running backs. And I think you're going to see those similar, you know, people are used to the five running backs. I think, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a different roster breakdown.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. I do think, to answer your specific question, I think he has plateaued a little bit. It doesn't mean that I'm unimpressed with him, mm-hmm. because to the contrary, I think he's got some skills, and I think there's some potential there worth, you know, keeping an eye on. And I agree with Andy. I think the numbers are probably going to be a little bit lighter at running back just because I think that the talent level is higher at other spots.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now you look at guys like Deion Branch, Jabbar Gaffney, Dante Stallworth, and those players are better than Brandon Bolden right now. And I don't think it would make a whole lot of sense to let those guys go to keep a young running back that you can probably get on the practice squad. And then if you need him, he's there.
You can't keep any of those veterans around by just stashing them somewhere.
Correct.
Whereas Bolden can be on your practice squad if you need him. Boom, bump.
Well, we'll be back in 24 hours with another podcast. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more excitement in practice to talk about. But the three of us will all be here for that, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Gerard Mayo blew up Stephen Ridley on a blitz. I like that. Bye.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.